With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom. Simply visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.
It's Friday morning already. Time for our political panel here at RCR. We do this every Friday morning at around this time. And I want to welcome on our panel, spokesperson for Save Women's Sport Australasia. I've chatted to her a number of times now on this program. Ro Edge, thanks for coming in, Ro.
My pleasure, Paul.
Happy Women's Day. Happy International Women's Day.
Yeah, we'll have a bit to say about that, I'm sure.
Yeah. I may have missed it. Is there an International Men's Day? Do we have that?
Haven't heard of one.
There is, and it was fairly recently, but they just sink without trace.
Okay. The fact that I don't haven't even heard.
I thought it was March the 14th was International Men's Day. So it's got another name as well, but we can't say
that. I don't think I even got a cup of tea in bed.
Okay, so it's International Women's Day. That's nice. Cam Slater, you heard his voice. So, Cam, welcome back.
Welcome. Good morning.
And Marty Gibson, we heard you too. Marty. Hi, Marty.
Oh, yeah, sorry to jump the gun. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for being on board. Where do we start? Because I'd like to go in on the media at some point during this anyway. Ro, do you have any thoughts on International Women's Day?
Well, it hasn't been the best week leading up to it, has it? I mean, we've had a guy get name suppression and discharged without conviction for punching a 71-year-old grandma and breaking her, cheekbone in her jaw?
Eye socket, I think.
Yeah, and I don't know, it just makes no sense, you know, but a man punches the Green leader, James Shaw, and he doesn't get name suppression and goes to prison. So what's all that about? You know, happy International Women's Day.
not so good.
No, and we're actually coming up to the anniversary of that Let Women Speak event too, which I was at. And what makes me really angry is the judge said that this guy, young guy, was revved up by the frenzy of the counter-protest, even though we were told it was really peaceful, remember? Loving and peaceful.
Yeah.
So who's then responsible for the actions of this young man? No one is accountable, not the media who whipped up the frenzy, the politicians, Labor and Greens, or old Chenille Lau, who seems to have disappeared, actually.
Yeah, where's he gone?
I don't know. He seems to have just disappeared since the government changed.
I think he got the ass card from the Herald.
I noticed recently USA Boxing gave biological men the right to compete in the women's division as well.
I know, so it's
a theme.
Absolutely nutty. Eh? Thankfully, Boxing New Zealand have got their heads screwed on with that, and they were the first ones to come out and protect it. But, you know, what are these dickheads at the top of American boxing thinking? It's just completely nuts.
It's insane. But if I was a woman competing in sport, I'd just refuse, because principles are more important than actual silver
medals.
Well,
then you wouldn't be
bronze medals.
You wouldn't be doing it then. You wouldn't be in sport, would you?
Well, too bad. That's the way, you know, you've got to stand up for something at some point in your life. It's no good going along to get along and getting silver medal after silver medal after silver medal while a bloke, you know, from the male side of everything is winning all the gold medals in the girls' competition. It's
so ridiculous. There have been some women that have done that, and they have gone from their sport. There's one over in the UK actually now who plays she's a pool player, and she's actually taking the English Pool Federation to court over it. So she's the first one to take a case, because I think sporting leaders have always been so scared that it'll be the males who think they're females that are going to take the case because they've been threatened with legal action. And so they've just kowtowed to them, and they've just thought, oh, women are kind. You know, they won't do that. But it's really good actually to see women actually stepping up now and saying, nah, stuff this.
Did you say pool player? Like, you know, round the table, Paul.
Yeah.
There'd be no male-female advantage in that game,
You'd
though,
be surprised. There is.
Really?
You've got reach for a start. You've got strength as well when you're leaning over the table and, you know, to do a difficult shot. There's a whole lot of things.
You've
upper body
strength,
everything.
Focus on getting things into a hole.
It's definitely a male trait, isn't it, Mike?
And men are way better with physics. They can calculate the angle way more.
Hitting your balls into the pocket.
And saying that, though, and we'll jump to it. I'm jumping a bit, though, but it kind of comes into this. You've got a female rugby team chanting a haka. Does that come in under International Women's Day?
well, you know, they went woke. They did their little haka, did their little protest against
redneck
the government.
Redneck government.
and then promptly got thrashed by the team that didn't do it.
Yeah, but who's bright idea? I'm just wondering why people do these sorts of things. It's they're clangers, really. They're not reading the room, it seems.
It's because no, when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail, to quote Maslow.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's pretty – and if you read the quote about, you know, what the lady who wrote the haka would say if she was criticised, said, oh, tell them to shut up. I believe that in rugby we have a platform where people watch and listen, and why not use our platform to show our people we will never fold, to tell the government that we are stronger than ever and we will never go down without a war.
Well, if I remember rightly, during the Springbok Tour protest that I was involved in, and I wasn't there, but two colleagues of mine witnessed it firsthand at Hamilton Rugby Park, you know, the rugby crowd were kind of redneck. Maybe things have changed.
Maybe women's rugby crowds are a bit different, Paul. I don't know.
I don't think they had any crowds, Marty. The stadium looked pretty empty.
There was no such thing back then.
It's just posturing. And that's what all of these little things that they do. It's like Joanna Kidman doing the same thing. It's like Professor T. Moranga, who's attacking David Seymour. These people are just racist or activists or whatever, and they're using their government positions and their voices to rail against the very government that pays them. They need to pull their heads in.
Well, yeah, but when you work for the Hurricanes and they pay you and you go and do that and you risk the brand, I mean...
Yeah, well, you actually need to decide, do you want to play top-level rugby or do you want to be activists? Because the sponsors are not going to put up with that kind of activism on the rugby field.
I don't think so.
Money will just be withdrawn and then the girls won't be able to play.
Marty, sorry, I interrupted you.
Oh, I was just going to say this, you know, as well as being activists and racists, I mean, a lot of them are just insane. And we've kind of gotten sucked into these, mud wrestles with pigs, and we get all covered in mud and the pigs enjoy it. There's got to be a bit of stepping back from just that shrillness. And we've got to sort of understand, firstly, that it suits some people just fine to have this kind of division. And this kind of constant, you know, that war that lady's talking about, it suits the people who print the money and own the media and have kept it on that heading despite the fact it was manifestly going broke doing it. It suits them just fine, and that's a price they're willing to pay.
This the granny bashing case, the word neurodiversity came up. It was the first time I'd heard it, actually. But I get what it means now. It's a victim status word. But it seems to me that this case has sort of outed what's going on here, and that could be that most of the people in the trans area, industry, culture, they seem to have mental health problems, actually.
Yeah.
That seems to be the common denominator.
And it's the same with women who have trans kids. About 80%+ of them, you'd know this more than me, right? 80-something percent of them for some sort of cluster B personality disorder.
Yeah, it is just nuts. I mean, gender dysphoria was a mental health condition before, you know, they changed what it meant. But it is.
It's the attack of the neurodiverse.
Yeah, but it's bullshit. I mean, it's a harsh word, but it is. I know plenty of people with autism. It's two words, yeah. I know plenty of people with autism. Hell, I'm one of them, right? My children are both autistic. But they don't go around bashing people and using it as a crutch to get out of doing something. If they do something wrong, they fess up to it like a good citizen, not this little weasel.
Well, it explains the behaviour of that crowd. Ro, you were there. I wasn't there. I'm just trying to,
it doesn't explain the behaviour.
Well,
they've
all got mental health problems. No wonder
they've got mental health problems. They think they're women.
I think there's something in that, though, isn't there? I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, we seem to make excuses for behaviour. I mean, we've got rid of the cultural reports from court now, but now we'll find other excuses to let people off their convictions, won't we?
Yeah, breastfeeding or bottle feeding or something like that. It'll be, you know, neglected as a child, weren't given enough cigarettes when they were five, something like that they'll come up with.
And the problem is our judiciary has gone more and more left over recent years. Like, I'd be surprised if we've got any conservative-leaning judges left in New Zealand.
Well, the last decent judge... who I would have described as a hanging judge, Judge Tony Adeen in the Hawke's Bay, died a few weeks ago.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, it's a terrible loss.
Mm.
And I remember once he told a policeman to take his hat off in his court.
Yeah, he used to come up to Gisborne a lot, and, yeah, he was a solid, salt of the earth kind of chap.
There's heaps of anecdotal evidence about criminals who find out they're going before Tony Adeen and changing their plea at the last minute to guilty, and it's a hell of a lot easier. Yeah.
So the police didn't police the event properly. They kind of sheltered, it seemed to me, to be the assailant, the perpetrator. And then the judiciary's come along and basically given them a get-out-of-jail-free pass. Can everyday people rely on the policing and judicial system for justice?
No, they can't. No. And the police are part of the problem. The officer who was in charge of policing that event is a trans person as well.
Really?
Yeah, I lost all confidence in the police's ability or even desire to protect us that day. They just walked on past when women were getting attacked. They did not want to get involved. They'd been told to stand back. It was just appalling. And, you know, I've just lost so much respect for them. And I've got friends in the police. And so it's, you know, it's tough because they do a good job, and but they're frustrated.
Yeah, but if you're the HR department, like a shark looking for any prey, being anyone who wasn't inside the equity tent, let's say, then if you have any problem with any of it, you're just going to shut up, aren't you?
There is some pushback happening now, Paul. I've heard from pretty reliable sources that there's a big Donnybrook brewing at the moment amongst government departments. There's about 600 or 700 positions that the government has signaled to the heads of department or the chief executives of the government departments to get rid of all of these inclusivity, DEI, ESG type roles. And I understand that Costa, the police commissioner, had an argument and said to the minister, Mark Mitchell, I'm not going to do that. And Mark Mitchell and him had apparently a screaming match from Bullshit Castle, which it's affectionately known as the police headquarters up the top of Molesworth Street, that could be heard down in Parliament. So I think there's going to be a bit of a pushback from the civil service about a lot of these jobs that are going are actually womble-type jobs that don't do anything.
Yeah, those people who get turfed out of those jobs, where do they go? What do they do?
They'll turn up at the Wellington City Council, probably.
Okay. All right, so we kind of touched on the female rugby team, and I think, Cam, you mentioned the woman criticising acts policy. Do you want to talk more about that?
Well, you know, there's
Professor Joanna Kidman.
There's Joanna Kidman, who's supposedly, she's a director of an organisation that's supposed to look at hate speech and division within society. And here she is tweeting, describing the government as being a death cult. I mean, that's hardly conducive to that. Interestingly, the DPMC, the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet, sent a letter to Victoria University, who employ her after the DPMC funds Victoria University. It's the sort of money laundering go round that they do.
So the mini Ukraine.
They do this so that they can say that they're not employed by the DPMC, but they are employed by Victoria University. Anyway, DPMC sent a letter to Victoria University saying that these sorts of behaviours could be construed as bringing Victoria University into disrepute, which is code for sack her.
Okay.
Basically. Yep.
I mean, she should never have been employed in the first place. I mean, she was a total activist before then. But, you know, it's like everything these days, these organisations that Kidman works for, that were all set up under the Ardern government, right? They all
It was a regime.
Yeah, regime, that's very true. They mean the opposite of what they actually say they are. You know, the Disinformation Project pushes so much bloody disinformation, it's incredible. It's, you know, it's all got to suit their far-left activist narrative, and if it doesn't, they'll just make up a story to ensure it does.
Yeah, it's like it's done in your face just to ridicule what you might think. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to go above the far-left activists, and you can go into, you know, the CIA couldn't do anything within America, so they got, whether it was the Department of Homeland Security or something like that, just went on that mission, and that was where the misinformation rooting out started. So these, you know, the pink-haired lady and all those, you know.
Yeah, where's she now?
Susie Wiles.
She disappeared about 30 seconds after I busted her on the beach.
Oh, that was without a mask, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, was that you who
that was me who did it? Oh, yeah, yeah, I did that. Of course.
She did pop back up on Twitter yesterday, I noticed, only because someone shared a screenshot with me of there was a new report that came out about what's it called? The big trans organization around the world, just having a brain fade. PATHA is like their, or WPATH.
There's
a report coming out showing that all of the stuff that they do, that they recommend for transgender health guidelines, is based on absolute bollocks. And that they know that the kids that they're giving this stuff to have no idea about the implications. And somebody posted it, who she obviously hasn't blocked, and she just said, why are you going down this transphobic rabbit hole? I mean, that's the level of debate you get with Susie Wiles, right?
Well, all saying that from inside her rabbit hole. Yeah, sorry.
John Money, right?
Inside Out promote his work. Like, they're really proud of him.
Yeah. Incredible.
Nuts. Yeah.
Yeah.
The organisation that ran that story about WPATH or whatever it's called was public. Of course, that was formed by Michael Schellenberg, who, of course, has been attacked by the Democrats because of his investigations into the Twitter files. And this is the new thing that he's gone into. There's an article on public. You can find it at public.substack.com. It's called the WPATH files. And the video in there that they've obtained from these organisations that are all orchestrating this is just damning, absolutely damning. And he's revealed all these messages, all sorts of stuff has come out. But, of course, the mainstream media aren't going to touch it. They won't report on this at all. And it's up to people like Michael Schellenberger and Matt Taibbi and various other people, and also at the Free Press as well. I forget her name at the moment, but she was an editor at the New
York Times.
Barry Weiss. Yeah, Barry Weiss. She famously quit the New York Times, and she's gone out and formed an organization, a media organization by herself, just like Michael Schellenberger with Public and Matt Taibbi.
I shared that WPATH report yesterday with Te Whatu Ora, Health New Zealand, and they blocked me. They've been reviewing their guidance around puberty blockers for the last 2.5 years. It was meant to be, their review was meant to be out. They took away the word safe on their website when a lot of us kicked up a stink saying they had no research to show it was safe. Yeah, as soon as I said, look, are you going to look into this? They blocked me. So that's the level of...
They're a government organisation. They can't block you. They shouldn't block you.
It's ridiculous. That is. It's nuts. I wasn't impolite. I just asked the question.
Yeah. This all started in about 2012. I was watching an interview with Patrick Bet-David, and someone was saying you can graph the appearance of the word racism and transgender. It all starts about 2012. And 2012 was about the time of Occupy Wall Street and the Tea Party.
Yeah.
They didn't like us talking about that. They didn't like us talking about the banking system or big government. But they love us arguing about who gets to use bathrooms.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But what I'm stunned about is why Christopher Luxon hasn't gone through these organisations in the DPMC in the health area, where there's all these fifth columnists that are sitting there. None of them have had the bravery to resign from the position because they disagree with the government. They're just
But he's the big CEO, Cam. He can fire people. Hey, it's no problem.
It's the boss class.
He hasn't done that, so why would that be?
Because he's ineffectual.
Or he's on board.
Or he likes wearing a wig and shoes. I don't know.
Just back to the words of Professor Joanna Kidman, and that was that arose following David Seymour's proposal to cut costs in the school lunch program. Can we agree that there does need to be a school lunch program, but can we also agree that it's probably costing too much?
I think you're confusing it. Joanna Kidman didn't mention the school lunch program. She's talking about boot camps. It was Lisa Temeranga who...
I thought there was two bundled together.
Yeah, she did say that they want to take kids' lunches, especially poor brown ones.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing is...
What lunches and then do boot camps work? Let's look at that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with lunches is I happen to know a guy who worked for one of the major providers of those school lunches. It's an Australian multinational. They were getting millions of dollars from the government. They did surveys of the schools that they were supplying, mainly in Auckland and Wellington, and those surveys came back and said something between 40% and 50% of the lunches were thrown away.
Yeah, that's because they have to give them to every kid at that school. And this is the ridiculous thing. They put on an adult like perspective that, oh, we can't make the kids feel uncomfortable getting lunches. The kids at school don't give a crap about whether someone else gets a lunch and they don't. You know, they just need to give it to the kids that need it. But, you know, there's some colleges I know where they've basically said to the kids, you are not allowed to bring your own lunch. And the parents have gone, this is nuts. We don't want them eating that unhealthy stuff. But, yeah, this is where they can cut costs by actually basing it on need, not just doing this scattergun approach to everybody.
And, of course, the Labor Party's now campaigning to save school lunches. I mean, this Lisa Temeringa and her little buddy Boyd Swinburne at the Health Alliance Aotearoa, which is just a lobby group that pushes particular agendas, normally anti-smoking, healthy food and all this. They're all saying these are nutritious lunches. These kids need nutritious lunches. I challenged Boyd Swinburne, who's got the disposition of a half-sucked throaty in the first place, and Lisa Temeringa to actually eat one of those lunches every day, 5 days a week for a month, and then come back to us and tell us if they really are nutritious. Because on a scale of, you know, awful to disgusting, they're pretty much just sitting above disgusting, and awful is where hospital food is. So, you know, even airline food is better than this.
I would give them airline food. That would be my solution.
You know, in the army, we used to call the cooks fitters and turners because they fit food into pots and turn it into crap.
What about the whole idea of boot camp? Does that work? And here's the question. Will they have to be vaccinated to get in?
I don't know if they work or not, but some of these little scroats need an actual good kicking in the butt cheeks to straighten them out. And maybe that'll work, maybe it won't.
I've got an army mate who's retired now, and we were laughing about that yesterday. And he said, oh, yeah, just better train crims, mate.
fitter and better trained.
And he's been there, done that, I tell you. So he knows what he's talking about.
I think it's worth a go. And let's face it, our Defence Force have lost 30% of their staff over the last few years. So maybe some of these kids will actually go into the Defence Force after and help bolster those numbers.
Yeah.
I spoke to a kid who just finished was a trial organisation which took them for about 5 days out of some rough parts of Gisborne. And I spoke to them afterwards and said, oh, you know, if you could, would you come and stay in this environment, you know, for a year? And they all said yes.
Wow.
You know why? Because it gives them boundaries. It gives them clothing. It gives them a warm, dry. I mean, as long as you like green or tan, right? As long as you like green or tan, you get free clothing.
Yeah. Good meals.
Good meals.
And some safety.
Right? Yeah, safety.
And they are part of a community. They haven't got a family. You know, all the army is just another big family.
Yeah.
And they can fit into that in many different ways. And it's worth giving it a go. And
that's how the gangs recruit. You know, they just give them a bit of responsibility, make them feel like they belong, and
it's also also how Man Up recruits people from the gangs to get them out of the gangs. But we're going to wrap all the support around you and do all of these things so you don't have to do crime and all of those things.
Well, as long as the weapons training doesn't go too far.
Well, I mean, you know, this is where they haven't taken the lessons from Jacinda Ardern. She would have called it, fluffy bunny childland. And then if someone's criticising it, they're criticising fluffy bunny childland.
Yeah. Biting with empathy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we got to do this. Media meltdown. Where do we start on this?
Well, hang on. I'll just dab the little tear out of my eye. There, it's gone now.
Should we have a minute silence?
No. Isn't it delightful? You know, they're woker than woke, the media, and now they're in a dog-eat-dog situation where there's all these people wailing, saying, oh, no, a whole lot of brown faces are going to lose work. And they're all going to be now applying for new jobs in a smaller market against people that they've supported all this, you know, diversity hire stuff that they don't meet any of the diversity.
No, there won't be any new jobs, Cam. New jobs. How can there be?
There'll be some shuffling around the deck chairs because a whole lot of journalists left when the new government was formed to go and work for ministers and things like that. So there's a couple of jobs that you can fill,
I hadn't
right?
factored that in, right.
Vernon Small, you see, he went from David Parker's office back to stuff. And when Labor gets back in, he'll go back into, you know, a Labor MP.
Revolving door.
Exactly. Backwards and forwards like nothing ever happened. And there he is writing articles on the almost defunct stuff. telling us that this is terrible what the government's doing. Well, he would say that. He worked for David Parker.
Mm. But, I mean, there's quite a few people in comms and the government. I mean, that big swelling of communications in the Ardern government, they're getting squeezed out at the same time as everyone's getting squeezed out of the media. There's going to be a lot of media lovies driving forklifts, maybe.
I mean, they did it to themselves. They've cut their own throats. For years and years and years, they've sat there banking millions and millions of dollars in advertising revenue. Somebody came up with a better idea to engage people and sell advertising, and so the advertisers went there. And the media went, oh, that's not fair. Can we have the government change the rules so we can skew the playing field back in our favour?
No. Isn't it about their content as well? I don't watch free-to-air TV, but I was in a pub the other day and they had one of the channels playing in the background and we were there for a reasonable stretch of time. And the,
of course you were.
The banality of what they were, not that long, the banality of what was playing got
it's,
me.
It's tell you what's been funny is watching Winston Peters and David Seymour comment on this, and I'm sort of like conflicted trying to choose which one I like best.
Oh, I know. David Seymour came out with a bang. What did he say? He said there's been enormous self-pity from the media sector and some journalists had directed anger at politicians for not giving them enough sympathy. I thought that was perfect. Because they seriously, it's like a full-on open warfare campaign when you go to the Prime Minister's post-cabinet press conference. Yeah. Like, it's hilarious to watch and listen to it. Yeah.
But, you know, David Seymour should have said, you know where you find sympathy? It's in the dictionary between shit and syphilis.
So we've had News Hub, we've sort of swallowed that one. TVNZ is kind of in progress, and I don't think that's the end of it at TVNZ. I got a feeling that's just the...
No, I think the government's got to make some changes at management and board level of TVNZ, otherwise the woke crap is just going to continue, isn't it?
Have you been watching the test cricket that TVNZ has been playing on their streaming app?
No.
Good grief. They've got some guy running around and doing everything in Maori and going up to Australians and talking to them in Maori like it's some inclusive thing. And they're going like, you can almost see them saying, what are you on about, Cobber? You know, it's all about being woke. And every time there's a wicket, his screen comes up and it goes wickety. I mean, it's not even Maori. You know, it's Manglish.
Yeah. So where do you think this crumbling will finish? And how much of it to run do you think? What will be left standing, if anything? I mean, we'll be here.
I hope we will be here, but I'm hoping they all collapse. And
really?
Look, I've had a run-in with just about every media organisation, and it was just, you know, last Wednesday, the news about News Hub came. I was on the ferry to Waiheke, and I saw it come up on my screen, and I showed a few people around, and everyone was cheering.
They couldn't work out why you were jumping around.
Yeah. And then, you know, everybody I've spoken to is going, oh, isn't it brilliant? And then same with TVNZ. Know what? Have a look at on Twitter or X. Every time someone says go woke, go broke, you get some media person having a big sook. It's just amazing watching them.
I just love the irony. Like you have these journalists and they froth at the mouth when they think they're getting a politician's scalp. Little do they realise that we're all frothing at the mouth because, you know, their scalps have gone. Warner Disney's got it. The TVNZ will probably take it as well. It's like good riddance.
Well, they had Petra Bagist on News Hub the other night with her pigtails with her grey hair going on about, oh, you know, it's terrible and it's awful and the way that journalists are being treated on social media and everything. And, you know, why aren't people hating the politicians? And I put on X, well, maybe because we've worked out that we hate you more, hate media than we hate politicians.
Mm. And what I think we're going to see, though, leading up to News Hub closing, is they're going to go even more activist. What have they got to lose? They're just going to dig in and see if they can take the government down with them.
Yeah, probably. The comments under any item on Facebook, though, are universally celebratory. It's amazing. And I mean, you know, if you run a business, you're so sensitive to criticism. I don't know how hasn't been a signal to them that maybe people aren't enjoying it. But a lot of the comms people that were populating the comments on Facebook have gone. It's really obvious to me how much the complexion of it's changed.
Wow.
If you looked at Paula Penfold, you know, hissing and spitting noises with naming her, interviewing her ex-husband, Mike McRoberts, and said, you know, what do you say to the people on social media that are saying these things? And he goes, oh, well, they're all wrong. And it just epitomises
their problem.
Their problem is that they think they're right and everybody else, including their viewing customers,
it's are them. Wrong.
That morally superior elitist attitude, right?
Yeah.
They know
Do you think she's worried about the the maintenance payments drying up?
I don't know about that.
It was bizarre that they got her to do that interview.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't put a flak jacket on for it.
Well, he certainly got the, the big, the neck.
Oh, he had he put his neck out with the size of that tikki.
Yeah. Is there some sort of competition running out there to?
No, I think Marie, Marie's probably got a better handle on this. Marie's got a theory about the size of the tikki, hasn't she?
The soap on the rope. I can't remember it offhand. I'd hate to misquote
it. Yeah, you'll probably get the beats.
Well, yeah, the attitude, it's like the consumers are wrong. Sorry, consumers are wrong. And you can think that, it's still not going to help you. So that leaves RNZ.
Well, I'd just sell that. I'd just sell it for whatever.
Who would buy it?
Well, who cares?
But you say sell
who
it.
Who even listens to it anymore?
Red Radio. It's called Red Radio.
Well, a lot of the archives have got intrinsic value. Same with TVNZ. I mean, it would be a shame to lose
that. You can run that.
Well, they're looking at increasing their funding by 23, 24 million this year. I mean,
it dropped
from number one to number what, nine?
Well, there's Paul Thompson saying we are essential for democracy. Here's the truth. You almost destroyed it.
Yeah. They're level with The Guardian in terms of how left-leaning they are. It's absolutely not.
Yeah, no, I think The Guardian's a bit more right-wing than Pravda. they're probably on a par with Pravda was in the height of the USSR.
Well, I had an encounter in the street with a former colleague of mine. I won't name him. But he said, it's great to see you, Paul. Well, I do disagree where you're coming from, he said, which is code for, you're on RCR. But it's good to see you anyway, he said.
Did you ask him what specifically he
Well, I said sticking up for freedom's a tough game.
Yeah, good on you.
Good on you.
It's not a tough game, actually, Paul.
But I'm giving you that example because that's the group thing.
I mean, standing up to them is a tough game. Standing up for freedom's actually easy.
Yeah, it makes you sleeping better.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so I suppose we should be sympathetic to the families of the people affected through potential loss of income.
It's hard for me to feel sympathetic to the families of the media because when the media were attacking me in 2014, quite vociferously, there was no thought about my family.
Or cheering on people losing their jobs.
They just wanted to take me down.
And the implications for their families. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, not feeling a lot of sympathy there.
Okay, we're not feeling it. We've got about another 15, 20 minutes here. So let's flip to this story. Ro, I think you want to comment on that, and that is the case of Ron Salter and his company, South Auckland Business, contract employee of his died at the business. And the police are seeking to use the proceeds of crime bill, is it, to wipe him out?
Yeah, basically it was set up basically to curtail gangs from being able to profit too much from the crimes they did. And for the first time ever, like this guy, Ron Salter, there was an accident at his workplace and a young man died, which was absolutely devastating.
He was welding.
Yeah.
Tank, and he didn't realise and the business is an oil extraction, waste oil extraction business, had a tank, just to context here.
Might be a problem.
He was welding, 17 degrees was the flash point, you know what's going to happen next.
Yeah, so they found a whole lot of health and safety issues. They paid a $400,000 fine. He didn't go to jail, but he had 4.5 months home detention. So he thought he'd paid for his crimes. Then a couple of years later, the police just turn up at their home and their business in huge numbers and basically say that they are charging him with the Proceeds of Crime Act or something. It's just, what it does is it shows the slippery slope of legislation. And so we've got the government wanting to bring in this gang patch rule. And while that might all sound all great and hunky-dory because none of us like gangs, the problem is, where does it end? You think about all the rainbow community wearing their pride flag at Let Women Speak. They basically committed violence. There's two people that have been charged from that. They endangered and intimidated Kiwis. I was definitely felt fear and was intimidated. They could potentially have their pride flag come under this gang patch rule. When you bring in legislation like this, it's just, yeah, step by step, inch by inch, we lose our rights. And I just look at what's happening to Ron Salter and just think it's absolutely ridiculous. And I can't believe Mark Mitchell hasn't put a stop to it already.
Well, why do you think the cops would be so aggressive here?
Because they don't have the ticker to go after gang members. Oh, you know, there was a case in Wairoa a couple of weeks ago where a couple of German tourists had one of their bikes stolen. They knew the gangs did it. The gang member rode past on the bike making throat-slitting gestures at them, taunting them. They told the police and they wouldn't go and get it. I got an outraged call from my ex-police friend who's a very old-school cop. He said those cops should be charged for cowardice. They don't deserve to be in the job. Wow. Gutless expletives. And, he said, why didn't the police do a search warrant, seize and recover the stolen bike and interview the occupants of the property? I think everyone knows the reason why.
A pretty good businessman. I mean, he's built up a great business. Yes, they've made some mistakes and they acknowledge it. And, you know, they're pretty upset about it. But, you know, there's $11 million to be got from going after this guy, even though he's already paid for his crime.
I know a little bit about Ron Salter. I know a bit about how he runs his business too. And I know a bit about how these stories are getting into the media. And let's just say there's another side to the story. But that doesn't mean that what the police are doing is right or kosher. It's over the top. But Ron's not an angel. Let me tell you, he's just not.
Okay, so are they making him pay for other things then? Look,
every story that's been run about Ron Salter has been run by David Fisher. And every story that's been run by Ron Salter has got a spokesperson who works in the for and on behalf of Ron Salter's lawyer. These are seeded stories that are actually PR to make Ron Salter look like an angel and the police to look bad. He's not an angel, right? I'm not defending what the police are doing. I think what they're doing is shabby, and it's not what was intended, and I agree with Roe on that. But there is another side to the story that's not being told, and that's how David Fisher at the Herald operates.
Okay, that being said, Roe, it still tells you that anyone could be vulnerable.
Yeah, that's right. I agree
with
Roe on that.
To this kind of... behaviour from the police is what it really tells us, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's just you've got to be really careful about the legislation you pass, because you take away people's rights, pendulum swings, all of a sudden you think that, you know, your rights won't be curtailed, and all of a sudden they are.
That's why I was hoping that the Labor and Green government would pass the hate speech legislation, and then I was going to use it against the Green Party to shut them up. And then to go, well, that's not what was intended. Oh, terrible. Sad.
This is not down here on the run sheet, but it's reminded me of it. The big fines handed out in the White Island case, because I used to live in the Bay of Plenty, and we used to, going to White Island was easy and you'd do it anytime you wanted to. And suddenly something happens and all these people are being fined huge money and being put out of business. And there was no great, you know, dock person warning people every time they got off the boat that at any moment here it could go up. You know, it seems that being opportunistic, again, effort to fine people, take them out.
Yeah, what they do is they find a signature case that they can then create a precedent to do other things. And Roe's absolutely right. It's the slippery slope. I know a case where Maritime New Zealand is prosecuting a guy for a whole lot of things to do with his boat. He ended up in the water for 7 hours. Two of the five people that were on the boat died. One was his partner and his stepson. And Maritime New Zealand, I mean, the guy's had enough pain. I mean, watching his partner and stepson drown in front of him would be a harrowing experience. And they've come along and said, well, we're going to prosecute you now. Because you didn't have this and didn't have that. And it's all just totally made up, the whole case. But they're doing it because they're going to use it as an example.
It's so nasty, though.
Yeah, it's vindictive. And the stories and the stuff that's in the evidence, because I've reviewed some of the evidence, is just appalling from Maritime New Zealand and the police. You know, and, you know, anyone who's involved in firearms and things like that has got stories about the overreach of the police and what they do. So, you know, nobody trusts them anymore. And it's cases like this Ron Salter case, like my friend in the Maritime New Zealand case and like the one you brought up, White Island, all of a sudden you look at these authorities, but the police were involved. Yeah. You look at these organisations, you think,
They stand on the sidelines at Albert Park.
Yeah.
Quite happy for elderly women to be smacked in the head.
Not all elderly.
No, I was thinking of the actual woman. But others like you, Ro, not so elderly, fearing, for your safety. And they just, I saw the footage, they're just standing around. Oh, well.
And when people went up to them and asked them for help, they ignored them.
Yeah.
They brushed us off. It was unbelievable. Yeah.
All right. Before we get into US politics, parks and buildings across Auckland will have dual names and tell stories of Tamaki Makaurau and Te Reo. Didn't the memo go out that this is all over?
Well, there we have the local boards are all going to now spend presumably thousands. We're not told how much they're spending, but one of the people who's all in favour of it says, oh, it's not that much money, but doesn't tell us how much. This is just ridiculous virtue signalling again. No one cares about the building and what it's called. No one cares what the sign is on it or whether it's in Te Lingo or any other language. No one cares. But we've got to spend all this money and do all of that. So clearly rates reductions are not a priority for Auckland Council.
I think people do care. I think they've been raised, the consciousness of this has been raised to the point where if they see it, it sort of bugs them. It gets on their nerves.
Well, now, I think it's a sort of issue now that will cost Wayne Brown his mayoralty. It's little things like this that build up and people go, well, he said he was going to stop this nonsense and he hasn't. You think about all those people who are in their flood-damaged houses and haven't had any action from Auckland Council. They sit there and read this news article that the old town hall down the road's now going to have a bilingual name on it while their house is still red-stickered.
I think this is kind of the equivalent of the outrage on the left about Christopher Luxon's claiming that housing benefit. I think it's overdue that we have more signage about the history of various places. I think it is interesting, and it enriches the country if it's balanced and reflects some of the maybe less flattering history as well. And I think the problem was with the Otara Papatoetoe chair, Apulu Reese Autu Gavaya, who told the Herald, local boards don't have too much power, but this is one of the ways where we do have power over public spaces. That's the problem. He's not selling it. He's just like, I've got power. I'm going to stick this in your face.
Hmm. It would have been better to go on a diet rather than,
Okay. Let's finish up because we've got about 5 minutes left. On Super Tuesday, no surprises there. Nikki Haley quit. One of the, or is she going to? I think she is.
No, she
one
has. The, she's quit.
Oh, okay. One of the funny things I saw was a piece on Fox News where they were interviewing someone and asking them if they're going to vote for Nikki Haley. And the woman said no, because she probably had menopause. And then they immediately cut away because it was not what was expected. And the journalist who was interviewing this woman who came out with the comments was, just about to hand back to the anchors, but he completely sanitized it and said, well, there seems to be an issue with her support for Nikki Haley. He didn't really refer back to the menopause. So, interesting. So Trump's there now pretty well, isn't he? He's the nominee.
Yeah, if you look at the Super Tuesday results for the Republicans, Nikki Haley won Vermont. That's the one state that returned, I think, the lowest support for Trump in any state.
That's Bernie's state, isn't it? Bernie Sanders' state,
I think. Yeah, something like that.
Has she got Democrat supporters?
Yeah, that's right. But then if you look at California, which the Socialist Republic of California, it's facetiously known as, Trump there got 78.5% of the vote versus Nikki Haley on 17.9% in California. So you would have expected some Democrats to swap over to vote in the Republican primary because Haley is very much the favourite for the Democrats to stand against Biden. But Trump rinsed her in nearly every state by quite considerable margins.
Big in D.C. too, which was no surprise again.
Well, yeah.
Being deep state 99% headquarters.
99% supported Democrat at the last election. On the Democrat side, of course, Biden won all of them.
No one was allowed to stand against him.
I know he had a few people standing, and some guy called Williamson and a couple of things. But the thing with Biden is they're literally people in New Zealand probably don't know it, but the Democrats are represented by a donkey, right? And they're literally voting for a demented donkey.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the really interesting thing to watch now with US politics, isn't it? Is what do they do with Biden? Because he's obviously mentally incapable of doing the job. But who do they replace him with? They're so into identity politics. If they don't give Kamala Harris the role, well, then
Big Mike.
Well, you couldn't bring Newsom, a white guy, in to take a role away from a black woman, could you? So, but Kamala is going to be even more unpopular than Biden. So they don't want to do that. And then you've got the Obama and Clinton factions fighting over who should go in if it's not them. It's just they're stuck with him. It's hilarious.
There was a video released overnight of Biden taking questions about Super Tuesday, completely baffled. And then he sort of whispered into the microphone, I better not answer any questions because I'll get in trouble. And then he just sat there. As all of the White House staff ushered everybody else out the room, you know, thank you.
He's not going to be there.
Who do they replace him with?
Michelle Obama, Big Mike.
But the Clinton faction don't like her at all.
No.
Yeah, she's ruled herself out of this election.
Yeah, that's what they all say.
Nate Silver, who's a polling genius, who started 538, and has now left 538 and gone out on his own, has written a couple of really good articles on his Substack. If you're a political tragic, go and search Nate Silver on Substack. And he's saying that the Biden administration are deluded. Every time a poll comes out, they come out with this excuse that, the polls are skewed, it's skewed in favour of Trump. And so their entire election strategy is to talk down the polls that are showing Biden slipping further and further behind and blaming it on rogue. But it's the same as Labour. Every time they got a bad poll, you'd hear a politician say, it's a rogue poll. It's Roy Morgan. It's another rogue poll. And there were so many rogue polls, there weren't any straight ones, and then they lost and wondered why.
But how is he even going to cope with debates? I mean, they can't hide him.
There won't be any debates. Time. You can't have them.
Well, he can't. There's no way he can.
Yeah, he'll freeze up.
Oh, come on. It's the vibe of the thing.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come on.
When I was beating up Corn Pop.
He was a bad dude.
He was a bad dude. It was the hairs on my legs were standing out.
Oh, it's so cringy. Please stop.
The problem isn't that he's a corrupt, touchy-feely, pedophilic.
Kleptomaniac.
with dementia. The problem is the Democrat voters know and don't seem to care.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, amazing.
I still know a few people here in New Zealand who think he's one of the greatest presidents. Are you kidding?
Which one? Right. They obviously watch mainstream media, do they?
I mean, Joe Biden's brother is throwing him under the bus in the impeachment hearings.
Yeah.
Right? And his son has hung him out to dry.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the big guy did take some money.
Well, they've probably got nothing to lose. They can throw the big guy under the bus now, Big guy doesn't even know what day it is. So.
It's actually cruel what's being done to him.
It's elder abuse.
It's elder abuse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, meanwhile, there's 500,000 dead Ukrainians because of a war that, occurred between him and a state that they took money from.
So I had Winston on at the beginning of the week. You just reminded me. I want to mention this. And I asked him about the latest money we're sending to them. And I said, is there any accountability? Do we know what it's going to be spent on? And he just couldn't say. We're just pouring it down the black hole, man.
I don't think that war would have hit. The US wouldn't have involved itself if Trump had been the president.
No.
I agree. No. Yeah.
Yeah, $500,000.
We're up against the time. Any last comments before we wind up this political panel for International Women's Day? Special. It's really special, this one.
The only other thing that's happening internationally, politically, on International Women's Day is Ireland are removing the last mentions of women and motherhood from their legislation.
I saw that, yeah.
Go Ireland.
I think probably men have to, rise above the 40-odd years of feminism and realise we've just all been played. And
there was a text that came into the show that said, Paul, where are all you good men? It was from a woman. You need to stand up.
Yeah, it is incredibly frustrating. You know, on the sports stuff, I'll get contacted by dads. Like there was one who contacted me from Australia and he was ropeable because one of his best mate's daughters had missed out on being able to even play to qualify for the women's basketball team over there because in the playoffs she had to play a team where there was a male in it and she said she wasn't comfortable with it, so she was out. And he was really, really angry and he wanted to start up this, you know, men's group for their daughters and do all this stuff. And so I spoke to him for about an hour and a half, gave him heaps of information, said I was there to support him. He dropped it. It just got too hard. And, you know, just the silence is just deafening.
But that's the thing, Ro, and you're experiencing what I've experienced for quite a number of years. There's people who want to do something, but what they mean by doing something is they want you to do something. And yeah. They just want to give you the information and sit in the background. And you say, no, well, we really need you to stand up. Oh, no, I can't do that.
And so now I just say to them, I can't help you. So now one of my first questions is, what are you willing to do? Yeah. Will you write an anonymous letter? Will you write one with your name on it? What will you do? And when they say, oh, I'm not comfortable with that, I just say, well, I can't help you.
What a pussy.
If they won't help themselves, you can't help them.
Exactly. It's their daughter. If they're not willing to fight for their daughter,
I got three daughters and we didn't have this issue back then, but you would never hear the end of me in this situation.
No, I'm the same. If it was, my daughter affected, I'd be ripping people's throats out.
Yeah. We've got that on tape. Cam.
Die in a ditch for the family.
Yeah, definitely.
There are plenty of other issues around, but we're up against the time. So I want to thank Ro Edge. Ro, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Spokesperson for Save Women's Sport Australasia on International Women's Day. Marty Gibson, good to have you again.
Thanks very much. Great to be here.
And Cam Slater, as always.
Thank you, Paul. Pleasure.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.